ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशनाकय चक्षुर उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। सो टुडे इज अ वेरी होली डे, एनीबडी नोज व्हाई? दादारानी has eight friends. I told you in the past also, but I can repeat again. And all the eight friends are her cousin sisters. Radharani's father has got eight brothers. That means they are total nine. And Radharani's father is in between. There are four elders and four youngers, uncles. So the each one has one daughter, and there are eight daughters. So one is Lalita, one is Vishakha, one is Indulekha, one is Champaklata, one is Tunga Vidya, one is Chitralekha, Rangadevi and Sudevi. Eight sisters also and friends also. And they are supposed to be the most closest to Radharani. Most close, most intimate, most confidential friends and companions of Radharani. And of them, the dearmost to Radharani is Lalita Devi. She is not the eldest. Eldest is Tunga Vidya. But all of them are born within a span of 15 days. That means each one of them were born one after another, like one day, 2 day gap in between. And the most dear one is Lalita, who is the daughter of Ashoka Gopa. And she stays in a village called Uchagram or Uchagam. Today our iCamp team is there in the morning there. They went to pray there because Uchagram is the birthplace of Lalita Devi. And today happens to be the birthday of Lalita Devi. Today is supposed to be Lalita Shashti. Huh? The sixth day of the waning moon of Shravan. Shravan, Padya, Shashtami. Shashti. And within 2 days from now, there will be birthday of Radharani. It's called Radha Ashtami. That is Shravana, Vadya, Ashtami. After exactly 15 days of birth of Krishna, Radharani's birth is there. So that's why it's very auspicious. And how to say, there are so many wonderful things about Lalita and Radharani. Also, there are two more, two friends of the eight friends. One is Lalita, of course. One is Vishakha, the second best friend. And then there are all, the six are equal. But among the equal six friends are, one is Champaklata. So Champaklata and Vishakha, their birthdays are on the same day as Radha's birthday. So Sunday, that is Monday, when we celebrate Radha's birthday, it's also birthday of Vishakha Devi and also Champaklata Devi. And they are very special people. I will like to give you some information about them. Like Champaklata Devi is the daughter of Gunabhanu. Her village is Karela. Last time we went in the camp. Karela is Karhapur, and she is of the color of champa flower. She wears clothes like blue color, and she plays santur very well. You know, have you seen santur? It's a stringed equipment, stringed. There is something called as tantu vadya, that means guitar, sitar, veena, like santur, ektari, all are stringed instruments. You have a string, one string or many strings, and you just go on playing. So Sri is very good in santur, and each of these girlfriends of Radha, they have three main assistants to them. That means there are eight, 3 is 24. And each of the assistants of Radha, that is 8, they have 3, and each of these one has 1 crore gopis under them.
Wow.
which means each closest friend of Radha has three crowds of ladies with them to serve them. Because the arrangement of service to Krishna is very, very elaborate. It is not, the Lord is Supreme Lord, he is not like Prime Minister of India or President of America or, you know, President of Cuba or China or something. They all are dying people, they will die one day. But we are talking about the Supreme Lord, who is the father of everybody, father of all living entities, father of human being, father of demigods, fathers of creator of every single thing, as we describe in Quran, Bible, and Torah, and Granth Sahib. That same personality is not going to die, is not going to get old or diseased, or one day Prime Minister, one day not Prime Minister, by vote of election. It's not like that. He's eternally the Supreme Lord and Supreme Father. So Radharani is supposed to be the main servant of that personality, the chief servant. And then she has eight with her who assist her in serving him. And those eight have each three in serving the each of the servant. And like that, the each one has one crore. So there are so many crores of servants. And these are special people. And there are many, many more which are assisting the assistants also. And their description is given here. The descriptions are like this. The lowest of all the servants of Radharani is called as Kinkari. What is the meaning of Kinkari? Kinkari means Kim Karaha. What I should do? That's the only question the person has. So Kinkar and Kinkari. Kinkari is a man, male, and Kinkari is females. They are so humble and so subservient that they only ask one question: what should I do now? And actually, that is the only question all of us should have in this life. How should I serve you, my Lord, the best now? That's the only question, actually. There is no other question, actually. All other questions are irrelevant. So everybody in the spiritual world are simply asking one question: how should I serve now? That's all. And when they get the answer, they keep doing that. And again they keep asking, same thing. And they keep doing that, and keep doing that, and keep doing that. Isn't it so wonderful? Huh? Constantly one is thinking how to serve the Lord, and constantly one is serving the Lord. And asking how to serve the Lord. Taking advice from others. Serving others to serve the Lord. So why Kinkari is the highest? Because she is the servant of Dasi, who is servant of Manjari, who is servant of Sahachari, who is servant of Sakhi, who is servant of Nitya Sakhi, who is servant of Pran Sakhi, who is servant of Priya Sakhi, who is servant of Param Shrestha Sakhi. And who is Param Shrestha Sakhi? Is Lalita, Vishakha, Indulekha, Champaklata, Sungavidya, Chitralekha, Ruslanga Devi, Sudevi. They are called as Parama Shrestha Sakhi of Radharani. And then Param Shrestha Sakhi is Radharani herself. And she serves Krishna. So she is the lowest of all servants, but considered to be topmost of all servants, because once you take the lowest of all positions, the Lord notices you immediately. That is the biggest advantage. The biggest advantage of being humble is that you notice immediately. In your nursing department, you know, there are many people working under you, and somebody is very humble. So don't you notice immediately, oh, this girl is very humble. She always does what is told. She never argues. She always says, yes, madam. She only asks how to do it, but she never asks why to do it. She will always say, yes, madam. And when she finishes, she'll come and ask you, what next, madam? And you will notice her, and you will start liking that person immediately. So humility is a quality which is loved by everybody. It's wanted by everybody, loved by everybody. But we don't want to become humble ourselves. We want others to be humble. Whenever it comes to us, it's like, you know, you become humble first. But in the spiritual world, everybody is competing with one another to become humble. I'll give an example. If they pluck flowers, and suppose I'm supposed to pluck flowers and give it to her, and she's supposed to make the garland for Krishna. So when I pluck the flowers, beautiful, best flowers I'll pluck and I'll give it to her. And then she will arrange blue, yellow, green according to the requirement in her imagination. And she will say, I will go and offer to Krishna. No, she will not say that. She will say, please, you go and offer to Krishna. What is the significance of this service? There is no credit to be taken in this. I made the garland, so I will go and offer it to Krishna. And I will like to him to appreciate me because I made the garland for you, O Krishna. The devotee thinks that I will keep myself the last and please you go ahead. Then she will say, no, no, I will give it to you and I will give it to you and I will give it to you. And finally, it goes to Radharani and she will say, Krishna, she has made this garland. I am offering it to you. And Krishna will offer, accept the garland. So that is the mood of spiritual world. Now what is the mood of material world? Even if you don't deserve it, you want to grab the credit. You have not done anything. Your servants have done, your assistants have done, your department has done. But you will tell your boss as if you have done everything. And you will not give credit to any of the subordinate. This is material world. And the spiritual world means, even if you have done, you want to, like if she has made a best garland, then she will say, oh, she has plucked the flowers actually. That's why the garland is beautiful. And then the plucking lady will say, no, no, no. This is the lady who has maintained the garden. She has maintained it by watering and giving nice cultivation, nice care she has taken. That's why the flowers are beautiful. I just went and plucked it. So like that, they will go on giving credit to others and others and others. They will never say, I am the doer, I am the person, I am the great one. So this is the situation in the spiritual world. And why are we discussing it over here? Because we want to adapt that culture here. In our life, in our individual life, or in our collective life, in our family life, or national life, or state life, whichever life we are together, life with colleagues, life with family members, life with neighbors, life with caste people, life anywhere, we want to adopt the culture of the spiritual world. So that once we adopt the culture of the spiritual world, one day we may be eligible to go in the spiritual world, to go in the kingdom of God. So these ladies, you know, they are not ordinary ladies. They are called as Nitya Sakhis of Krishna. Eternal companions. They never fall down. They never make mistake. They never get contaminated. They are called constantly with Lord. Constantly with Radharani who is serving the Lord. And their life story and their activities are so much of an inspiration and happiness for all of us. Because by their life story, they inspire us to become servant of the Lord. What is the meaning of being servant of the Lord? They are teaching us actually. So Lalita Devi is, her mood is what? She is little elder to Radharani, so she is, her mood is also to protect Radharani. To serve her, to serve Krishna. To engage, to help her out to serve Krishna. At times of nuisance, she will protect her. When Krishna will come and harass her, she will stand in between her and Krishna. He says, you don't harass her. She is a very simple hearted girl. She is very bholi. You are very crooked. You always come and disturb her. And she will protect and fight for her. Everything is manifestation of love. There is no fight in that actually. But simply, it's a loving gesture. I remember one place where, how many of you have gone to Barsana? So many of you have gone. Have you seen that narrow path? Huh? Where the two mountains come closer? And either you can go this way, or one person only can go. Have you gone there? Have I taken you there? Maybe not every yatra I can't take, but some yatra I have taken. So the four mountains are like this, no? There are four heads of Brahma. So two mountains when they come close together, there is a path like this where only one can go this way, or one can go this way. Both cannot go each and every way. So this way is Barsana, this way is Nandagaon. So from Barsana, when the ladies come with pots of yogurt, butter, milk, sweet meats to go and sell in Mathura at the place of Kamsa's kingdom. From here, Nandagaon, Krishna and the boys come. Now it's only one, na? So one way road is there for one person only. So one lady is one after another crossing that lane. And suddenly from this side, he comes and stands. He says, you cannot go from here. So he says, this is my place. From my place you are traversing, with the material like we have octroi, na? You cross from Dahisar to Mira Road, you are stopped there. Either you first you pay toll, and you have got some goods from Bombay, you have to pay some tax, 4% octroi. Even if Mira Road you are seen walking with new things, and suddenly one guy comes behind you and says, stop here. How much items are there? Pay for you. You cannot take things like this inside my territory. You have to pay some tax for it. So he says that from my territory you are walking, you are using my land to walk, and from there you are going to go to Mathura and sell this butter and make money. I must get my tax. So she says, no, this is not your land. This is Radharani's land. Her father is king over here. Your kingdom is Nandagaon, not here. Sir, I don't know that. You are walking on this path and selling and making money, you have to pay tax. Now, you would like to just avoid them and go ahead. The situation is like this, no? How will you go? Either they have to go behind and you have to walk further. You can't climb mountain and go like this. This is not possible only. So then he's standing with a stick there. And they are arguing. You leave. It's not your place. It's our place. You have to pay tax because you have come from outside here. So then back and forth argument goes on. And suddenly while arguing and discussing, Krishna will raise his stick and break Radharani's pot. And the pot will fall down. And you know, poor Radharani, she has got nice pot on the head and she falls down. You can imagine, suppose you are going to some beautiful place, you know, and some nice preparation you are taking and somebody comes and breaks it on the road. You feel so embarrassed. You have worked so hard. You have put it nicely on the forehead. And supposed to go and deliver it to somebody. There's a lot of plans, a lot of activity, a lot of energy has gone there. And somebody comes on the road and just breaks it into pieces, you know. It falls on the ground. So she, Radharani, is a very simple-hearted woman. Instead of getting angry, she feels morose, you know. She feels depressed. She starts crying. She's not in the position to argue with Krishna. And at that time, Lalita comes in between. Starts shouting at Krishna. Starts chastising him. And then there are a lot of many stories like that. But I remember this because Lalita is a person, whenever Radharani goes down like this emotionally, she comes and supports her. And then builds her ego, builds her confidence. So then she also comes up in front. And then they defeat Krishna. At times they defeat Krishna, at times they get defeated. At times all the pots are broken. At times they are punished by them. All the ladies punish the boys, Krishna and the friends. And this takes place every day. It's called as Nok Chok. It's a very beautiful word. Nok Chok means, you cannot explain the word Nok Chok. There is no English word for Nok Chok. No? What English can do in front of Nok Chok? There is loving sentiments. People who love one another, they come in front and argue lovingly and, you know, put each other down and discuss with one another. But actually speaking, they love so much one another. So these are all the friends of Krishna. Also are cousin brothers. Krishna's father has four brothers. Two elder brothers, two younger brothers. The total five. So Krishna's father has two, Krishna and Balram. And each brother has two. So there are eight. So Krishna also has eight friends. And Radharani also has eight friends. And they are also cousins, they are also cousins. But here, there is all cousins of Krishna are saga brothers of one father, two. And there are eight. And here there are eight fathers and eight daughters. So everybody is cousin to each other. It's like that. And simply all the arrangement is made to love one another. There is no envy, there is no hatred, there is no competition in the sense of satisfying oneself. Competition is there. But not to satisfy one's ego. Competition is there to serve. Who will serve more? Who will serve better? Who will serve the best? That is the competition. Competition is not bad. Competition for ego is bad. Competition to put oneself front in of others is bad. So competition is there. Even lust is not bad. If the lust is for one's own self is bad. If the lust is for satisfying the Lord is not bad. The gopis were all lusty for Krishna. But they were not lusty to satisfy themselves. They were lusty to satisfy Him. To please Him. They never said, ki, now He will dance with us and we will be happy. No. We will dance with Him to make Him happy. There is no trace of individual desire for satisfaction. individual desire for pleasure. I will be happy in the process. No. That is not the mood of spiritual world. Spiritual world is simply to give pleasure to others. To assist others, to help others, to serve others, and to please others. And the topmost person to please is the Supreme Lord. So Lalita is that kind of personality. Unfortunately, the lineage that we have of Guru and Shishya is headed by Lalita Devi. It's another fortune. At one point, a fortune time, Krishna said that this particular lineage, you handle yourself. Train them nicely. So that day onwards, Lalita Devi has taken charge of all of us. And she is supposed to be very merciful. Even if we have lot of faults, lots of mistakes, lots of anarthas, that is unwanted things in us, you know, like lust, anger, envy, these are all unwanted things. Competitive nature for selfish gain, putting others down, harassing others for our own aggrandizement, improving oneself for hating others, like that. All those anarthas, that is called unwanted desires, unwanted attributes, she tolerates in us and still engages us in the service of the Lord. It's like you may have a child who is deficient, or you may be little bit, you know, negative in behavior, but you don't discard your child, no? Out of love, you know, yes, my child is little naughty and has some negative activities, you know, he hurts others, beats them immediately, but you will still like to see that you tolerate the inconvenience and engage your child in nice activities which are useful and fruitful and progressive in his life. Like that, Lalita Devi, Krishna will not accept you. The Supreme Lord will not accept you unless you are completely pure. But these ladies who are next to Krishna, they will still accept you. Keep us with them. Train us, purify us, and then say, now Krishna, see, now I have trained him well. Now he is best. Now you can take him. And then Krishna accepts us. So what do? They have a position in front of Krishna. They have influence, they have authority. They have love. Love has a lot of authority. When you love somebody, you have lots of authority. You know, you can do so many things because of love. You can order the lover, do this way. And the lover will do it for you. Out of love, not out of position. So because of the authority of love that they have, they shelter many, many fallen conditioned souls like us. Keep them, keep us with them, train us nicely, purify us completely, train us in service to the Lord, and then when we are ready, they say, Lord, see, this is a very beautiful devotee, he is much better than me also. Please accept him in your service. And then when they will recommend, even though we are pure, if there is no recommendation from the beloveds, there is no acceptance. Like sometimes you are looking for a girl for your son, right? Many people are recommending, this boy is good, this boy is good, this boy is good. But you say, no, I want to ask that friend of mine. If that friend of mine says, good, then I will accept immediately. There's something like that. You say, no, let my, this auntie say, okay, this boy is very good, then I will accept him. So there's always somebody whom we like to take his word or her word finally. So like that, we may be purest of all purest. But if these close people don't recommend us, we are not accepted. We should not think, you see, I became very pure. See, I am selfless. See, I am so much servitude in me. I am the best one of all. No entry for you. Sifaris bahut zaruri hai. Without sifaris, cannot go ahead. Right? Even in the close circle of politicals, people, they have somebody, you know, in that close circle. If that person says okay, then the Prime Minister will say okay. I don't want to pick names, but we all know that. They are not in limelight, they are behind. In front there are big people. But behind there are some people whom they always keep consulting. About for law, for this, for decision, for making speeches and all these things. And say, speak like this is the best decision. They have all experts. Without their consent and recommendation, the big people don't go ahead. The Supreme Lord will be Supreme Lord. But he has these ladies around him. His friends around him. When they recommend, we get entry. In the boyhood pastimes, when the boys are playing, like Sudama, Svidama, Arjun, Ujwal, Anshu, Tostok, Krishna, there are 8 friends. So if one wants to enter in the boyhood pastimes of Krishna, unless these boys recommend, we are not getting entry there. If somebody wants to enter into this girls, ladies association of Krishna, unless these ladies recommend, we don't get it, permission. It's like that. When Krishna was playing Ras Leela, Lord Shiva got attracted. He said, "My God, my Lord is performing Ras Leela. I must go and serve him there." So he came running from Kailash. So Lalita Devi came and stopped him. "You cannot go inside, because only one man is inside. Everybody is a lady. Only one man is here and all the other ladies are there. Only ladies can go inside." So Lord Shiva said, "I want to become a lady. Please tell me how to become a lady." He's not attached to his body. "No, I am not a lady or man. I may think I am a man, you may think you are a lady, but neither you are a lady nor I am a man. We are not his bodies, we are spirit souls. You are only covered by female body, I am covered by male body. That's the only difference." So he says, "Tell me how to become a lady." So she said, go to that pond across Jamuna river called Mansarovar. Take bath there, prayfully, and you will instantly attain a body of a lady. And then come back." So he didn't even think, "What people will think about me?" He will think immediately, "Oh, everybody knows me as Lord Shiva, the man, Mahadev. And now they are telling me to become lady, and if I become lady, what all my friends will tell me?" No thought. Service to Lord is the most important thought. Rest everything is insignificant. He ran, he took bath, he became a gopi, and he came running back. Lalita Devi laughed at him. Why? Because he became gopi. The snakes around him didn't become gopi. They remained snakes only. He has snakes on the neck and the head and the arms and everywhere. So they were not in the mood of becoming a gopi. So they remained snakes only. So you can see a beautiful lady, you know, beautiful eyes and lips and hair. But she has snakes around her. How she will look? So when he came running, he didn't even notice that, "Oh, my snakes are not transformed, only I am transformed." He just came running in the mood of service. And looking at his mood of service, oblivious to everything else, Lalita Devi laughed. Not in criticism, in appreciation. "Look at this man. How wonderful he is. He's not even bothered about what is happening to him. He simply wants to serve. He's so eager." So then Lalita Devi held his hand, that means now her hand, decorated her fully as a beautiful lady, you know, with ornaments and flowers, and made her hair and two flowers and all diamonds, everything. And after decorating her beautifully, took her by hand inside the Rasa area where Radha was standing with Krishna. He said, "Take this fan and fan them nicely." So Lord Shiva, in the form of Gopi, fanned Radha and Krishna very beautifully. And while fanning, you know, we fan like this, no? So in between, he'll see them. Chamara Dulabo Heribo Mukhachandra. When he will do like this, he will keep watching the beautiful faces, moonlight faces. And after a long time, then again Lalita Devi held his hand and took him at the gate of the whole area and said, "You stand here and guard this area, that no one impudent, unqualified should be entering in this place." So Lord Shiva is still standing there as Gopeshwar Mahadev. He's become a gopi and standing there and guarding. He says, "You guard this area where no other unqualified, contaminated, sinful person shouldn't enter this place. Only pure devotees should enter." He's still there today. I took some devotees of late there. So this is Lalita Devi. Constantly she is helping everybody else who are sincere to come close to the Lord. And today is her birthday. So we pray to her that we are full of unwanted things, we are full of bad qualities, bad attitudes, bad habits. We are not having any trace of devotion. But still we want to serve the Lord. See, the thing is that we may have no qualification, no good qualities, full of bad qualities, nothing qualification, no yogyata is there. But theoretically we have understood intellectually that we need to serve the Lord and we want to serve the Lord also. So one way is hopeless condition. So what do you want to? You're not qualified. Get lost. It's possible. But that sincerity of desire, these ladies see, and they will ignore all the bad qualities that we have. Only the spark, one spark is there in the middle of ocean of bad qualities. That one spark is of the desire to serve the Lord. And they will only look at that, pick up that, grow that, cultivate that, and destroy all the bad qualities around. And they make the flame into pure devotional flame. Qualify you and then recommend you. What if you are rejected, for example? You go to the church and Lord says, get out. You go to masjid and Allah says, get out of here, you are most impure. You go to temple and He says, you are most sinful, get out of this place. So nobody has any hope only. What is the hope? All of us are contaminated, all of us are fallen, all of us are not qualified. So do we have any hope? These ladies give us hope. The special ladies of Krishna. They shelter us, train us nicely. And then, what do you call, offer us to Krishna. It's like the aloo, when the aloo is given to you, it's not eatable, right? You have to peel the aloo. You have to cut the aloo. Then you have to boil the aloo. Then you have to put spices in oil. That means fry the aloo, roast the aloo. And then put salt and put this and put coriander and put coconut. And then I give you, and it's eatable, right? So aloo in the beginning is not eatable. But can we throw the aloo away? No, wait. We can process the whole aloo. There's a procedure. Somebody has to take the aloo very compassionately and let him undergo a procedure. Aloo says, okay, do whatever you want. Make me qualified. So aloo is like, why are you peeling me? Why are you cutting me now? Why are you boiling me? Are you now you're roasting me, you're frying me, putting spice on me? What is this? I'm burning, I'm getting cut, I'm into so painful. He's not saying that. He said, do whatever you want. I will accept the pain. I will not cry. I will not shout. I will not rebel. I will not reject. I will accept everything. Give me strength to tolerate, but I will tolerate everything. If aloo says that, it is so easy for the cook to cook, right? If I give aloo to you and tell you, make aloo sabji, and the aloo all are fighting with you constantly, can you make aloo sabji? You can't make. All the aloos are fighting with you. Neither they are letting you cut them, neither you can boil them, neither you can spice them, neither you can roast them. Nothing you can do. Never the sabji will be made. But in this case, the aloo is saying, please accept me as I am. Make me ready for the Lord to eat. And then he goes through all these powerful, painful procedures. And then, it's not only aloo. Then there is some oil, there is some spices, there is some coriander, there is some coconut, there is so many beautiful fragrant things. These are all added by the cook. Aloo is only aloo only. But all these wonderful things are added by the cook. To make the person, make the aloo palatable for the eating personality. So we have no qualities in ourselves. All these wonderful things like spicing, these, everything, coriander, garnish, everything is offered by Guru, offered by these very beautiful ladies, and make us from a raw item to a very palatable, attractive, beautiful looking item. Nice plate, nice spoon, nicely arrange everything nicely. Initially, because I aloo with full of earth, dirt on that, peel, everything is dirty. You want to wash hands every time again and again. But now you don't want to wash hands. You keep the spoon aside and start eating with hand only. It will become so beautiful from the most ugly condition to the most beautiful condition. And now it is not rejected. Everybody wants it to enjoy it. And these activities are done by these merciful, compassionate, beautiful ladies. So we have to pray to them. Please accept us. Mere avaguna chitana dharyo. Please do not look at my bad qualities. Please do not mind them. Please ignore them. Take me in your lap and train me and make me acceptable to the Lord. Palatably acceptable. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions?